welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture in the Gospel of Matthew. This is an account when Jesus and his disciples were just traveling along and an incident happened. It says, when Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, cried out to Jesus, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is really an interesting passage of Scripture, an interesting story. There's so much we can kind of glean from different angles about this story. In the first place, you know that Jesus, we know that when he came, he said, I don't speak of my own authority. I just say what I hear the Father say. I do what I see the Father do. So we know this woman was crying out after him, and, you know, as the Son is submissive and obedient to the Father, I'm sure he's checking his heart, and he's not hearing anything, he's not seeing anything, you know. But she's crying out after him, and finally, you know, he lets her know, I wasn't sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then, you know, she says, Lord, help me. And he said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. And then she said, yeah, Lord, even little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus heard something different. Then the Father said, say this, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. The Lord knew the woman's heart, and he knew how to get her also to respond in a way that she humbled herself. When you humble yourself under his mighty hand, he gives grace to the humble. And that's ultimately what she did. She humbled herself under the mighty hand of God, and she received that healing grace. But what's important to note here, as we see that ministry of healing, is there's another truth here that really stands out. He said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. She wanted healing for her daughter. He referred to healing as the children's bread. Now, when you think about that, healing, the children's bread, it's something, in other words, that belonged to the children. Healing is a bread, he's saying, that belongs to the children of God. And what I want to do is I want to look at this truth, because he's proclaiming, he's saying it in passing, he's saying it to a foreigner, he's saying healing is the children's bread. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. It's really, the title of the message is simply this, healing is the children's bread. What does that mean? You know, Jesus didn't say it was the children's dessert. He said it was the children's bread. He said it's a staple. It's a provision that the Father has for his children. And when we think about that, when we just remember that one simple truth, healing is the children's bread. I mean, healing either is or it isn't the children's bread. Jesus said it is the children's bread. What do we do with that? We gotta look at it. We gotta see it. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna just take a look at this truth in some very simplistic terms, because it's a very simple truth. Healing is the children's bread. Why is the fact that the healing is the children's bread important to us this morning? Because we are children of God. There was another woman that came. Actually, there was another woman that Jesus ministered healing. We see it here in Luke chapter 13. It says, "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." Of course, right after this, he gets ridiculed by the teachers and the scribes and the Pharisees for healing on the Sabbath. So then he responds to them. "The Lord then answered him and said, 'Hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?' And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." Now, this is a very different scenario. This woman is not coming after Jesus. He's going after her. He sees her. And when he sees her, he doesn't just see a woman bent over. He sees a daughter of Abraham. And he called her to him and said, "You are loosed from your infirmity." She's the daughter of Abraham. In other words, he was basically, in essence, saying, healing is your bread. Healing belongs to you as a daughter of Abraham. He didn't say, "This woman," you know, and he explains why he did what he did. He doesn't say, "Ought not this great woman who has served God all these years be loosed from her?" No, he says, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham?" She was healed by grace through faith. It was a gift. She didn't earn it. It's because of who she was as a child of God. Healing was her bread. Healing belonged to her as a daughter of Abraham. And so we can think, wow, wouldn't it be great to be sons and daughters of Abraham? Yes, it would, wouldn't it? "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Are we sons and daughters of Abraham through Christ? Yes, we are. We know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not that healing was the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. We see here John puts it this way: "For behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." Justification got you born again. You should be called the children of God. "Therefore, if the world doesn't know us," because it didn't know him, "beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Something you can't get away from as a Christian is the fact that you are a child of God. You are. You're not going to be. It's not someday. It's not something you do. It's the gift that came through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are children of God. Jesus could heal somebody and justify his basis purely on the fact that the woman was a daughter of Abraham. It made her a child of God. It meant that the bread of healing belonged to her. It's a powerful truth. Healing is the children's bread. We are the children of God. The other thing that we got to realize in the fact that healing is the children's bread and we are the children of God is the other fact that the bread has been provided. Okay? And this is where I'm just believing for that spirit of wisdom and revelation that we see Jesus rightly this morning, even that we see this truth correctly this morning, because it is so spelled out in the Word of God. And it all revolves around this bread that's been provided, this bread, this children's bread of healing. It's been provided. The scripture, this is what we do every communion Sunday, the first of the month. We go through this passage right here. The Apostle Paul saying, "For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we've got this communion table, and we've got two elements. It's not just the cup. It's the bread and the cup. And what are we doing when we're partaking of the element of the bread and the cup? As often as we eat bread, drink cup, we're proclaiming something. In other words, this table is a proclamation of something that was substantive, that really happened. We're proclaiming the Lord's death. We're proclaiming the redemptive truth of his death, burial, and resurrection every time we partake of this table. So this is what we're proclaiming. Here it is. Let's look under the hood of what it means to proclaim the Lord's death. It's exactly what Isaiah said it was. Surely he's borne our griefs. That's what we're saying when we lift up the cup. We're saying, you've borne our griefs. You've carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Okay, let's take a look at the passage in the Amplified. Surely he has borne our griefs, which literally in the Greek and in the original Hebrew means sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, carried our sorrows and pains of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Praise God. So you can see what happened here when Jesus gives us the instruction for this table. He's introducing this whole new covenant, right? He's introducing a whole new covenant that includes the breaking of his body for our healing. That word, when you see in Isaiah, by his stripes we are healed. It literally means Rapha. It's healing. You look at the word Rapha, run your reference in the Hebrew. It is physical healing. There are some allegorical elements that you can look at Rapha in some different ways, but you got to understand those stripes are referring to a physical wholeness. They're referring by his physical broken body, our physical bodies are healed. They're made whole. There is a wholeness of physical promise of the bread of healing that comes in. This is where I just want you to get the revelation, the continuity of thought. Jesus looks at the Canaan woman, says, healing is the children's bread. He goes to that daughter of Abraham and says, here is your bread of healing. Ought not this daughter of Abraham be healed? There is bread, there is healing. And here he takes bread and he breaks it and he says, it's not just broken arbitrarily, it's broken for you that by those stripes you were made healing. See the connection, you were healed. See the connection between the bread and breaking the bread and the body and the breaking of the body, the stripes, we're healed. You can see that continuity of the children's bread of healing that Jesus spoke in his earthly ministry, that he presented in the communion table, and that the promise of Scripture affirms that by those stripes, we were healed. You know, when you got saved, you were not healed. You were born again. Your old previous moral condition passed away, and all became new. The Bible says you were made alive with him. In other words, you know, and this is Ephesians chapter 2, it says, you were by nature children of wrath. Your spirit man is a child of God. It's not because your old nature got healed, it died. You got born again. When Jesus looked at Nicodemus, he didn't say, Nicodemus, you got to get healed. No, he says, you got to get born again. The new birth made you a new child in Christ Jesus. Those stripes were for your physical healing. Those stripes are for Rapha. It's the provision of your physical body for physical wholeness. Praise God. That healing is a provision that came through that New Testament table. You know, when you had that man who was born lame at the gate beautiful, you know, he said, you know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. There was healing that was provided through that redemption of Jesus Christ. And by those stripes, we were healed. There's a provision that came through redemption. And they said, why do you look at us as though by anything we did? He said, it's through faith in the name of Jesus Christ that this man stands before you healed. There was faith in that name, faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we put our same trust in what Jesus did. By his stripes, we were healed. I'm a child of God. He died for your physical body. Is it a big deal? Does your physical body matter that much in this redemption process? It is huge. Your physical body and physical healing is very important. It's very important. The scripture puts it this way. As it's connecting now, let's keep connecting the dots. Haven't you learned that your body, talking about your physical body, is the home of the Holy Spirit God gave you, that he lives within you. Your own body does not belong to you. God has bought you with a great price, this price. So use every part of your body to give glory back to God because he owns it. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. He redeemed you. He bought you. You know, you think of our old, you know, our unfortunate history where you have the slave trade and people are slaved auctioned and they're bought and sold. You know, when you bought somebody, you got them, spirit, soul, and body, everything. When God redeemed us, he didn't just redeem our spirit and leave our body on the auction block to fend for ourselves. He got us spirit, soul, and body. Our body belongs to God. He owns our body. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Our body is, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. It's not just when I feel pain that it's just, yeah, I want to be free from that pain. But I got to realize that this body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. God cares about our body. Why does he care about our body? The only reason you're still here today, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you've done, I don't care how much money you have, I don't care how much influence you have, there's only one reason you're here today. It's because of the physical status health of your body. That's it. Your health of your body, that's it. Nothing else. The reason why you have influence is because you are alive today and you've got a physical body. Does that matter? Yeah, it matters a lot. It's huge. Now, I'm not just talking creature comforts here. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he's ordained us to walk in down here. This body gives us the right to be here. The health of this body gives us the ability to influence and to do things in the earth. I'm not, you know, yes, someday this body is going to expire. It's a terminal condition. It's a mortal body. We are term limited by our bodies. We're not going to be here in the natural forever in that sense. And yet we're here. We have a part to play. We are his workmanship. Remember what Jesus said? He said, ought not this woman whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, behold. Why does Satan bind bodies? Why does he try to take out bodies? It's not so much the body, it's the influence. It's the good works that God has ordained you to walk in. He's trying to cancel culture, the good works he's ordained you to walk in. When you seek healing, it's a form of resisting the devil. It's important. It's an important thing to realize. That provision has been made. That's the point. We are the children of God, and Jesus, before he went to the cross, beautifully breaks physical bread, that's allegorical of the children's bread. And he said, that body is broken for you, that by these stripes you can be healed. There's a provision for healing. There is a basis for healing that you have as a child of God. Healing is the children's bread. We are the children of bread. We are the children of God, and the bread has been provided. That bread has been provided through the broken body of Jesus Christ that was redemptive when he hung on this cross. His body was broken, it was whipped, it was beaten, it was wrong. Just as surely it was unjust to shed that innocent blood, it was unjust to break that body. Redemption happened. That body was broken for you. In other words, there was some personal benefit that you got through his broken body. He was broken for you, that by his stripes you could be healed. That body belongs to him. And you know what he's going to do someday? You know, he owns your body. You know, there's a difference between renting and owning. When you rent something, you have to ask the landlord if you can do certain things. When you own it, you can do what you want to do with it. Someday he is going to transform your vile body to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And he's not even going to ask your permission. He's just going to do it because he's redeemed you. And he has the authority and he has the right to transform your body. And he has the authority and the right to heal your body. By his stripes, you were healed. There's a provision of healing that comes through the bread. There's a bread of healing that belongs to the children of God. And then finally, we can ask for bread. We've been called to ask for bread. Matthew chapter 7 says, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" I'm so glad Jesus very explicitly articulated this point. He's saying, if you as parents know how to give good things to your children, how much more? In other words, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, you're going to give them bread. And that's what he's saying that the Father does too. When we ask for the bread of healing, he's not going to give us a serpent. He's not going to give us a stone. He's going to give us bread. How much more? In other words, there's a confidence. I can ask for bread. I can come to the Heavenly Father. I can come before the throne of grace and ask for the bread of healing. Healing is the children's bread that was provided. I love how James puts it, even a little bit more explicit. He says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven." And he says, if, it's not always, it's just can be a connection, sometimes is or isn't. But he says this, the prayer of faith will save the sick. But look how inclusive this is. He's talking to the church. See, this is, when you're talking about healing as the children's bread, then the condition is being a child of God. That's it. That's why he says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And you know what it says? It doesn't say, and the oil will save the sick. It says, the prayer of faith will save the sick. The oil doesn't save the sick. The prayer of faith saves the sick. But if you're going to pray a prayer of faith to save the sick, you've got to have a basis for faith. In other words, if I'm praying the prayer of faith, as a child of God, what does that look like? It looks like this. Father, you said through Jesus Christ, healing is the children's bread. I am a child of God. I am Christ's. Therefore, I am Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise. Before you went to the cross, you took that bread and you broke it. And you said that that bread was broken for me. You said that every time I do that, I'm proclaiming your death. I'm speaking Isaiah 53. I'm declaring that by your stripes, I was healed. I'm putting my faith, Lord, in the bread you provided, in the bread that you broke for me. I'm putting my faith and my trust in those stripes, that by those stripes, I am healed. And Father, I, by faith, receive healing in my body according to the bread of your broken body, Lord Jesus. According to those stripes, I receive it and I thank you for it. By your stripes, I am Rapha, healed. And I receive that healing in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of faith again. It doesn't matter if it's a good day or a bad day or where I'm at. If I've committed sins, I'll be forgiven, right? Remember that one time when Jesus was going to minister to a guy and he said, your sins are forgiven. They got all upset. He said, well, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or arise and be healed and go your way? It was the same grace that provided healing, forgiveness, bread, cup, either way, you know, that healing grace is ministered. Now, I want to say this, and I'm just really wanting to keep this message very simple and very concise. I understand complications of healing. I understand it. I've walked through it. I know. I've learned and I've grown in a lot of these different areas. But I'll tell you what, God doesn't want healing to be a big, ugly, complicated thing where I'm trying to reconcile 17 edge cases and figuring out why then and can I really believe. That's not his will for you. His will is a simple admonition. Healing is the children's bread. You're a child of God. Here's the bread. Ask for healing. Sounds pretty simple. Is it supposed to be that simple? He made it simple. He did. And a great point of contact for healing is communion. Next week, we're going to have communion service. We'll kind of go over some of this stuff while we're doing the communion service. But it's important for you to know you don't have to wait for the first Sunday of the month at Door of Life to have communion. In fact, we've got these things. We should have a box of them back there. You can feel free to take these. Bring them home. You can have communion by yourself anytime you want to. But this is a great, it's a great occasion. It's a great point of contact to on purpose drive a stake and receive healing. When you got this cup and say, healing is the children's bread. Go over those scriptures. Read them. You know, go back and say, hey, Lord, I know that that body, that bread was your body broken for me. Declare it. Lift up that element of the bread. Bless that bread and say, thank you, Father, for this bread. I receive it as my provision, as your child for healing. That body was broken for me, and I on purpose receive my healing now by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, healing's a big subject. There's a lot of different ways people can get healed. There's supernatural gifts. There's different things, and that's all great. I'm just narrowly talking about one avenue of healing this morning. I'm talking about you as a child of God, cutting through the clutter, cutting through the theological clutter. There's a lot of political correctness that we get into theologically, too, when it comes to healing, physical healing, things like that. You got to say the right thing in the right way that you're not offending. Ultimately, you got to go back to the Word for yourself and decide, is healing the children's bread? And some of the stuff is, you know, you can lay out the scriptural, the theology of this, but ultimately, what you have to do is you got to go before God for yourself and say, Lord, do you care about my physical body? And this is what I've had to do too, because I've heard it. I've been down this road now quite a few years, and I hear a lot of things, seen a lot of things. And if you got a story to tell, I've probably got a lot of similar ones like it. All right? I know. I get it. But it's important to understand that you got to come to the conclusion in your own heart. Go before the Lord and say, Lord, my body's in pain. I'm hurting. Do you care? Does that matter to you? Listen to the Holy Spirit. Ask these questions. He does care. He's made provision. Now, when we're talking about receiving healing, I do want to add this because I don't want to give the impression that every time I ask and pray that it's going to be an instantaneous healing. Many times it isn't. Jesus said they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Many times in healing, there's recovery. It's process. It's over time. I was fighting some things for the last couple weeks too. I know what it's like to stand for healing, all right? And I went to Rhema, you know, the founder of that school, Kenneth Hagin. His whole basis was physical healing. And yet they were very adamant to say, we are not anti-medicine. We're not anti-doctors. We're not against natural medical things. Because God has helped man. He's helped man see some things that can help in the natural side. In fact, they'd have a way of saying, they'd have a tendency to say the natural and the supernatural can come together to make an explosive force for God. You can take natural good things, natural remedies, you know, that can be good and have healing. God has provided healing aid in certain natural remedies that can be good. It's not like, I'm just going to be healed by faith with no natural, no matter what. There's no ego or pride in this. You just want to get healed, all right? So you receive natural, medical, good help, but you pray about it. In all your ways, you acknowledge him, and he directs your path. And so, Lord, is this good? Or is this not? And then you let peace rule as it relates to those natural, medical side decisions or things that could be a help or could be a blessing or could supplement. But I've heard in a lot of cases where it's together. So there may be some things that you're going into for a procedure or a surgery or something like that, and God will work together with that. He'll bless physicians, anoint them, and the recovery time that in the natural would take a natural person X number of weeks, when you're by faith believing God, he can supernaturally speed up that recovery time. So it's not like all natural or all supernatural. It's both. God can use them both. It's important to understand that. That bread of healing can work through many different ways, many different avenues. And so it's not a pigeonholed one size. I'm coming before God. I'm believing for supernatural healing. But I can also get, it's not cheating to get natural help. It just isn't. I mean, Luke was a physician, a beloved physician. You know, he wasn't condemned as being a physician. Again, you got to use wisdom. You got to acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and let him direct your paths. But he can use natural medical things. So it's not, it doesn't have to be an either or thing. But it's important to realize, and this is where I think sometimes people think, oh, I'm going the natural route, I'm just forget faith and healing and all that, because I really couldn't believe. Don't forget faith and healing, all right? Especially if you're going a natural route. Be sure to say, Lord, help, bless, anoint, grace, and Lord, I'm standing with you. There are things that are impossible with man. And what's impossible, what's not possible for man is possible with God. There are times when people say, we've done all we can do. We've given you up. You know, that's all we can do. I thank God for healing. I thank God for supernatural healing. You know, a lot of times people will be riled up about healing one of two ways. It's like, oh, you're getting people's hopes up and then they feel condemned if they don't get healed. Let's be clear about one thing. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Receiving healing or not receiving healing is no basis for condemnation. You're putting your faith out. You're endeavoring to receive. And a lot of times in the receiving, it's just a matter of standing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I got to receive and it's got to happen a certain way. I'll tell you what, you're just standing and standing and standing and standing on those promises. It's like any other form of standing. If you've sinned and you blow it, and you by faith receive forgiveness from your sin, do you still have guilt that comes back? That you got to stand and believe that you are really cleansed and forgiven? Yeah, you do. Or if it's a bitterness thing, you're forgiving somebody, but you have thoughts that come back, do you have to ever stand when it comes to things like that? Yeah, you got to stand. Or financial provision, you're believing. Do you have to stand and remind yourself that he's going to take? Yeah, same for healing. It's just the fight of faith. All right, so there's going to be that standing that's involved. As I'm asking for the bread of healing, there's going to be some standing. There's going to be some standing and believing. But this is what I want to get to the heart of. Healing is the children's bread. I'm a child of God. The bread has been provided. I've been called to ask. You said, if anyone, even if I'm full of sin and I did a bunch of dumb, stupid stuff that got me in that condition, call for the elders. We'll forgive the sin and heal the body. So there's no witch hunt of like, well, I should have this. I deserve this because of what I did, and I'm going to live with it because I know it. No, you don't have that wiggle room because he's going to forgive those sins and heal the body. He gives you no basis for staying in that place. He doesn't let guilt keep you there or anything. Even if there was sin, I'm forgive that. He really loves us, doesn't he? He loves us thoroughly. And again, this isn't supposed to be some spiritual grunt contest I got to do or to prove somebody or prove something. This is a very sweet, personal, intimate, God is my Father. I'm his child. He loves me. I'm just asking for healing, Father, by faith, according to the provision of the bread of the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bringing it back to that. Bringing it back to that. Uncomplicate healing. We're going through, obviously, this time of year, too. We're dealing with a lot of stuff. Like I said, I came through some stuff. And I get it. I understand that. And I understand, you know. And so it's important, though, as we're going forward, that we just really remember the primary thing is healing is the children's bread. Praise God. What do you do? I was saying before, a lot of times there's kind of two passionate views. It's kind of like, you know, stay away from healing because people are going to feel condemned if they don't get it. But there's another passion that, it's first of all, it's just important. Healing's been provided, so we don't stay away from it. It's the Word of God. We preach the Word. The Word is that it's God's will to heal. It's God's will to heal. He loves healing. We've had people in this church testify supernatural ways that God has healed them. What do you do about the people that don't get healed? What do you do about the people that do get healed? Do you throw them under the bus and say healing isn't for today? No. Remember Kenneth Hagin telling his story. He had an incurable heart condition, blood disease, all that stuff. He called for an elder of the church to come over and pray for him. And as he tells the story, the man patted him on the head and said, "Just be patient, boy. In a few days, it'll all be over." That's why people get angry about the healing message on the other side. Because there are people who are alive because they believed God for healing and they didn't follow that old religious dead unbelief. It is there. It is real. And there are people who've died prematurely because they've followed ungodly counsel. Do I know people who love God, who I've stood with, that are served God and died still? Yes. Can I answer for that? I don't understand it. I don't understand everything, but I know this. Healing is the children's bread. And I will never change. I will never deviate from that. It's not based on my experience. Healing isn't established on Ed House's healing experience and my through the years. In this case, no. It's established on this. It is written. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Have I ever prayed the prayer of faith and had people die? Yes, I have. It doesn't change this. At some point, you're going to have to make a decision. What do I believe? I believe the prayer of faith will save the sick. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to hold on to that. I'm not going to explain that away. I'm not going to take my experiences that I don't understand and say that's not true. I'm going to say it's still true even though I don't understand things. These are some things that you're going to come to. These are conclusions that you're going to have to come to in your own life. Healing is the children's bread. It's not that it was the children's bread back in the day. It's still the children's bread. Healing has been provided. And this, like any other benefit or blessing of God, is not what saves you. These blessings, they're great, they're awesome. But you got to realize God loves you. These are here to help you, to bless you. And yeah, they're brought into some weird faith games and people can play games and get into weird stuff with it. But I'm just telling you, don't miss out on the fact that you are a child of God and that healing belongs to you, that the bread of healing belongs to you. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. A lot of times that's what I'll do when I'm praying for somebody. I'll say, Lord, this person called for me to pray over them. They've done their part. I'm going to anoint them with oil in your name. And I'm going to pray the prayer of faith as a child of God. That's my part. They did their part. I'm doing my part. And now you're going to do your part, Lord. You raise them up. I don't raise them up. I pray the prayer of faith. And the Lord does his part, which is the raising up. You can water, some people sow. God gives the increase. I'm not giving the increase. I'm just by faith doing what God's told me to do. And then I'm standing. I'm standing in that healing. But healing is the children's bread. Healing's a big subject. You can talk about it for weeks, months, different ways, things. I want to get you a spiritual vaccination, immunization on a simple truth that Jesus declared. As we're going in our life and as we're dealing with sickness, healing is the children's bread. Bring it back as a child of God to that simple truth and declare and refresh, I am a child of God. That healing belongs to me. and the bread has been provided. He broke, his body was broken for you. He was broken for your healing, for the here and now. Healing, I've heard it said, it's like a dinner bell. It gets people's attention. God is a God of healing. And we can ask for that bread of healing. Again, what does that look like when you receive the bread of healing? You don't have to have a specific, because God did something in one way for one person as they testified, doesn't mean it's going to exactly be that way for you. But at the end, there's healing. There's healing, there's that provision. And so again, no weird condemnation, no weird expectations. Just know that there's a provision there. Healing is the children's bread. It belongs to you. God loves you. You're his child, and you can ask for that provision. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just the simple truth, what you declared, Jesus. Healing is the children's bread. And I just pray, Father, for each of us this morning to return to that simple truth. You did not want that daughter of Abraham to stay bowed over. You wanted her to be straight. You wanted her to enjoy life. You wanted her to be whole because healing is her bread. Father, I pray for each of us this morning that we allow ourselves to simply go where your words told us to go. Healing is the children's bread. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe healing is the children's bread. I am a child of God. I have believed in you, Jesus. I have become a seed of Abraham and an heir according to that promise. Jesus, you broke the bread which represented your body, and that break represented stripes. And by those stripes, I am healed. Physical healing was provided for your children so we could ask for the bread of healing and not be afraid that we're going to get sickness, but that we're going to receive the good gift of healing. I believe you want me free. You want relief for my body. You want me to be whole so that I can do everything you've ordained me to walk in. Thank you, Jesus, for the bread of healing. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I just felt this morning, and it just really was strong in my heart, just really more of an exhortation, just an exhortation of healing in Scripture. The Word, what the Bible says, big subject. I know, I got stories, you got them too, about this, things, questions. I know, me too. There's a lot of different things, but when it comes back down to it, and it's like, I want healing, but come back to this. Healing is the children's bread. No Christian would disagree with that statement. Start there and ask yourself, am I a child of God? Go to the Scripture and find out if you are. Once you find out you are, go back and ask, has that bread been provided? Has there been a bread of healing, a provision, a covenant of healing that's provided for me? When you go back and see what Jesus' words say, and then when you're declaring his death, you're declaring what Isaiah 53 said happened at the cross, you're going to come back and say, yes, healing belongs to me. And then it's asking for the bread of healing. You're not saved by the theology of healing. You're not saved even by the theology of salvation. At some point, you got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Same with healing. You're not healed by the theology of healing. At some point, you got to step up to the plate. Say, okay, Lord, here we go. I'm a child of God. I'm asking for the bread of healing. Don't worry about the noise going on around you. You go as a child of God, you receive that bread of healing. Praise God. And He'll, by His Spirit, He'll lead and guide you. There's things that you need to do or things, but that's between you and Him as you let Him guide, as you acknowledge Him. He's going to direct your paths if there's other things involved in that as well, too. Amen? Praise God.